Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the last day of March, Anno Domini 2018, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose. Kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. So, as you know, there's been a small, let's call it a kerfuffle, at Facebook about the data problems they're having, the outrage people are feeling at Cambridge Analytica stealing millions and millions of people's data. At any rate, Facebook is delaying plans to unveil its long-rumored smart speaker in the wake of ongoing public outcry over the company's data collection policies. Reports last year said that Facebook was working on a large touchscreen smart home speaker designed for video chatting, similar to Amazon's Echo Show, as well as a standalone speaker akin to the Google Home and Amazon Echo, which would sell for a lower price. The former will reportedly include a wide-angle lens that can recognize users' faces and associate them with Facebook accounts, because that's not intrusive. Both devices are said to use a new voice assistant. A January report said that the video chat device would be named Portal and that it could be priced at $500. Work on the devices is said to be led by Facebook's Building 8 team, a group within the social media giant that focuses on consumer hardware. Facebook planned to unveil its new smart home products at its annual F8 developers conference in May, with a full product release coming in the fall. But the Cambridge Analytica controversy, or if you're British, controversy, and the subsequent public outrage over Facebook's handling of user data appeared to have put the big reveal on the back burner. Cambridge Analytica, of course, is a political consulting firm that did work for Donald Trump's 2016 presidential campaign. They were revealed to have retained copies of private data for some 50 million Facebook users. The report says Facebook is now taking a closer look at its products to ensure they make the right trade-offs regarding user data. Let us never forget that Mark Zuckerberg is the man who famously said privacy is dead. Various reports this week said Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg plans to testify before Congress in the coming weeks over the company's privacy practices. Other reports say he is not. So you decide. Despite concerns over Facebook's customer data usage practices, many of which existed well before the Cambridge Analytica uproar, the report says Facebook still plans to release the speakers sometime this year. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, and that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is which smart speaker do you let listen all the time? And your choices are Amazon Echo, Apple HomePod, Google Home, I'm waiting for Facebook's Portal, and you're joking, right? And, of course, with this group, what would you expect? You're joking, right, is by far the number one choice, followed by Echo Home, waiting for Facebook's Portal, and absolutely nobody has the Apple HomePod. But I know that you will have more to say about this particular subject, so if you scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the first item in poll discussion is 31 March 18. Which smart speaker do you let listen all the time? Two voices so far, and we hope you'll join us there and have much more to say about this. I have both a Google Home and an Amazon Echo. I use both regularly. Honestly, I get more information mm-hmm. out of the Google Home, but that's to be expected. It has decades of every piece
They've
of information
been at it a lot
ever.
Yeah.
And so I generally get better answers to questions from the Google Home. Interestingly, I also get better entertainment from the Google Home. Now, part of that is I have a Chromecast, so I can say, you know, cast mm-hmm. this movie or cast this music or whatever I want to do right. to my TV. But also, for example, I can't do Spotify with Amazon Echo. It insists that I use Amazon's own music service.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Google don't care.
It don't mind.
It don't mind. It don't care. I have tens of thousands of songs up in Google's cloud. Mm-hmm. So mostly I play music from there. It's mostly music I own. I've just ripped all my CDs and threw them up there.
Yeah.
And
Which you can do legally.
And so I often, you know, listen to mixes I've put together, I guess you'd have to call them.
Yeah, your playlists.
My playlists. And from there. But I do have both.
He's old. He knows what a mixtape is.
I know what a mixtape is. I'm really old. I made mixtapes.
Reel to reel?
Yes, I still have some reel to reel reels. I don't have a player anymore.
But you can probably get a USB one.
It could be in the attic along with my portable typewriter. I do have
50 pounds.
No, this was really portable. It only weighed about 10 pounds. It was a little light, cheap aluminum thing. I believe it was called a Rocket.
And 10-to-1 odds, most of the younger kids right now are sitting there and say, what's a typewriter?
What's a typewriter? What's a reel-to-reel tape player?
Yeah.
I in class yesterday, I used the word capstan, and I had to explain. It's the little post that you put a cassette tape on. Then I had to go find a picture of a cassette tape to show them what that looked like. I just wanted to get them all off my lawn.
Yeah, I know we're old when.
Exactly. But yeah, so we had, and I was talking about cassette tapes and how we used to have programs on cassette tapes. And the second or third time you played them, they didn't work anymore because the tape stretched because there was only a motor on one capstan. Mm-hmm. And so I now had to explain. Luckily, I didn't have to explain what a motor was, but I did have to explain what a capstan was.
Yeah, it's amazing, you know, just because I don't think any one of us here think we're that old that, you know, certain stuff you sit there and mention this and they look at you like you've got a third eye.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And like, huh?
Yeah.
You know, and like, what's that?
Right.
And to us, you know, it's, not that long ago, but technology is changing so fast.
Well, exactly.
You know, I mean, I don't think any of us could have imagined that, you know, when we first started out with working on the computers and all that, that things were going to happen this fast.
Yeah.
You know, again, computer, it was just a passing fad. Hello, everybody runs their life around it now, even that tablet or even on your wrist, you know.
Right.
They do so much more than...
Right, I have the kind of power on my wrist that took us to the moon.
Yeah.
My dad got mad at me when I bought a home computer. And he was a scientist. He worked with computers all day long at Kodak, and they were big, hulking monsters.
Mm-hmm.
What in the world do you want a computer at home for? Such a waste of money.
Right.
And 10 years later, he buys his own so he can play Tetris.
Yeah, right.
During the Tetris craze.
Yeah. We were talking about media in class, and I was talking about... mini discs.
Mm.
And I have to admit, I should have brought mine in. I have mini discs and a mini disc player.
Okay.
You know, for the 11 minutes that was in vogue, I actually got a mini disc and a mini disc player. it was pretty cool for its hour. But that was about it. All right, before we get to the phones, I just want to remind you, we remain in a pledge drive. This is week 3. We are very, very grateful to each and every person who has so generously contributed. And I want to thank the people who sent in pledges during the week. This week, that's Susan and David and Veronica and Colleen and Ed and Charles and Kenneth and Frank and Mary. We are extremely grateful and honored that each and every one of you has been kind enough and generous enough to pledge your hard-earned dollars to make this station stay alive. And that's the whole point behind this. We are in week three, and we would really, I promise you this, we would really love to be done with this pledge drive this week.
That's no week four.
Right, no week four. Yeah, that's our goal. But the only way we reach that goal is if you make a pledge. Now, let me first say thank you to the very many, many Soundbites listeners who are Jazz-O-Matic members. We are very, very happy and honored that you are doing so. Jazz-O-Matic, of course, if you choose to pledge $10 or more per month, we can then automatically deduct that from your credit card, and you don't even have to think about it. It's very painless. And we can do that for you, and we thank those of you who have contributed that way. And, of course, you can stop at any time and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we are honored for those of you who continue to do that, because it is a sustaining sort of membership that keeps this place going. But even the people who have given $10 and $20 and $30, we thank you all so much. Yes, we do have membership levels that start at $30 and $50. And, of course, the $90 and 10 cent level gives you the member card. The $50 level, you can get the Soundbites thumb drive, which is an amazing little device. Wherever and whatever you have decided to do, we are honored and delighted. We really only need about $14,000 to finish off this pledge drive this week. And I know you can do that. And I'm talking not only to those listening today, but also to those who listen over the podcast, over the week. About 10% of you are members. And we thank those 10%. But the other 90% of you, don't be a member of the crowd. Don't go along with the majority. Be an individual. Make that call. Make that pledge. It's easy to do. If you're calling, you can call 585-9, and you can do this all week, by the way, at least during our office hours here, 585-966-JAZZ, that's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. Of course, you can pledge securely 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 6 days a year at jazz901.org. And if you would do that, we would be honored and delighted, and we would make our goal and stop the pledge drive. We would be done. We don't continue to pledge just because it's a pledge drive. We pledge because we make a pledge because we need the money. So we have a bunch of stuff that we need to do here on this station. It is right, wonderful. This place has been very generous and in making sure that we are here, that we have a voice on this station. Remember, this is basically a jazz music station. You know, we're not in general. We're not a group of people who have a station that has a lot of talk shows. In fact, we're the only talk show on the station. We're it. And the folks here took a real leap to do this for us, and we're honored and delighted. We are going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright. Steve Ray has showed up magically. Me, Nick Francesco. We have Andy from Miranda Coit on the line. And you. It's something or other. 19 minutes after the hour. Soundbites member-supported jazz. 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, I'm Jim McGrath, host of the Blues Spectrum. I hope you can tune in this Sunday evening from 7 until 9 for some of the best blues around here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
And it's 23 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. We're very glad that Steve is back. He was one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest, hiding among the Badlands on the mesas. What?
Southeast.
That's right. You're in Southeast. But he's back now, and we're very excited about that. Before we get to the phones, and we really are going to get to the phones, I promise you, but I would like to thank both Don and Dave for their very generous donations. We're very excited that they have deigned and decided to become members of the Soundbites family. Thank you so much, so much. It is you folks who keep us alive, and we're very grateful. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Dave from Churchville, New York. Hi, Dave. What's up, Dave? Hello, Dave.
Dave.
Dave's not here.
Dave. No, Dave is here.
Yeah.
Dave, who's on the line?
Oh, this is Andy.
Andy!
Where did Andy come from?
Andy from Irondequoit.
Andy from Irondequoit, yes.
We thought we lost you.
Dave said he lost you, but I'm glad you're here.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank you guys profusely, you know, for the show all these years.
Thank you.
Enjoyed heartily. And also wanted to say that, not simply because of you guys, but we did re-up our membership.
Yay!
Earlier this week, you know. And as a third aside, don't feel bad, guys, about being old, because I, too, still have my cassette mixtapes.
There you go. You don't have anything to play them on anymore, but you still got the tapes.
Yes, exactly. But I refuse to get rid of them. One day I'll rip them and, you know, do something with them. But
yeah, yeah. I keep saying that, too, but I keep not buying a cassette recorder to rip them on.
Yeah. Mm. I had a customer ask me the other day for a DVD recorder to hook up to his television, because he likes to watch shows and time shift them.
Sure.
So at least he's not using VHS.
That's important.
But still, DVD recorders are pretty well gone, too.
Yeah, they certainly are.
Well, listen, speaking of technology, I have issues with the Windows 10 update hanging up at 83%.
Yep.
It's an older desktop, I'd say about 5 years old. It came with Windows 7. And then I upgraded to Windows 10, you know, online. I've tried numerous things. For instance, I've tried the Windows Update Troubleshooter. I've tried the Windows Background Intelligent Transfer Services Troubleshooter. I've done the, where you do the command prompts, repair the system files with SFC. I've tried that. One interesting aside, when I tried another command-type fix, which was to fix window corruption errors with the DISM command line tool,
right,
it gave me an error. It didn't run all the way through. It gave me an error 87, the online slash cleanup image slash restore health option is unknown. So I don't know if that is helpful to you guys, but do you guys have any suggestions?
What was that error number again?
87.
87, okay.
Now,
okay. I've not seen that on Windows 10. I've seen it on Windows 7.
Now, I got that error. Now, mind you, that's the error I got when I was running that command, you know, trying to fix window corruption.
DISM.exe/online/cleanup image/scan health.
It was DISM.exe/online/cleanup-image. So yeah, slash restore health. That's when I got that 87 error.
Okay. Now,
so it started out as 7 and got upgraded to 10. So maybe there's bits of 7 left in
it's,
there.
It's certainly possible. Yeah. But one thing that we see this for a lot is if you did not put the correct capitalization or spaces. So it's DISM.exe/O online.
Oh, there's spaces between the slashes.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
/C cleanup image.
Right.
/image /R restore health.
Right.
And if you don't have it exact, Windows is not good about, oh, I see what you meant.
Yeah, no, it's dumb.
Yeah.
It's dumber than a bag of rocks.
So you got to have those spaces in there.
Okay.
I thought you couldn't have spaces in a command line.
No, you no, when they're parameters to the command,
yeah,
you must have spaces.
Yep. It's just, but like, that goes back to the old days, just like when you're F-disking something or that, you always had to do the command, backslash the command, space, backslash the command.
Right. Yeah. And all those parameters need to have spaces in front of them.
So it knows which one to do.
Right. Right. Yep. Whether you're on Linux with a, well, Linux, less, you mash them together. But Linux, it's a dash something.
Mm-hmm.
On Windows, it used to be a backslash something. Now it's mostly a forward slash something. But you still have to have those spaces.
Yep.
So give that a try. Because that's the general issue with that command.
Okay.
It's people typing it in wrong.
All right. And now, any other suggestions, though, because, you know, I've been struggling with this now for a number of weeks. And, you know, eventually Windows tries to reinstall that, you know, that upgrade, that update, and then it hangs at 83%. And then basically I'm forced to do a hard reboot. And then when I turn the computer back on, it goes back to the previous version of Windows and is okay for a day or two until it attempts to update again.
Right. Generally speaking, that's one of two things. Three things. At any rate, Spanish Inquisition, here's the deal. You will always get that error message if it is a non... what's the word that Microsoft uses?
Signed?
Yeah. Essentially, it's not a legal copy.
Mm-hmm.
It will always give you that error. The second reason is a bad download. So one thing you can do is entirely remove the download and let it start all over.
Mm.
Particularly if you are on either DSL or cable, you can very easily get a bad download.
Yeah, because it sends it in packets. And,
right.
You know, in these packets, in that what they call the handshaking, it might have gotten interrupted, and so that's why it's hanging up, because it's still waiting for that respond from that last packet.
Uh-huh.
You could also try installing the updates one at a time instead of letting all the mass of them load at once.
Right. Well,
I'm assuming this is the... I'm going on the assumption that this is the most recent... What is it? The 1702 or
right.
whatever?
1702 is the one most people are having a problem with.
Yeah.
And part of that is a bad download. Generally speaking, when you get that command, it cannot find the files that it needs. And it's either because the command was put in wrong, or you don't have a legitimate copy of Windows, or the download itself was not accurate or correct.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three big reasons. But I guess the best thing to do is to wipe out the download and let it re-download again.
Okay, and I can do that presumably through the control panel,
right.
The securities or whatever.
Right.
Okay, so basically wipe out the download. And then let it reload again.
Mm-hmm. Really, that's your best bet. And don't forget those things. Now, did you say you were having a problem with the Restore Health version? The Restore Health line?
Well, that was one of the fixes. Because I went on your website and I found the document, from, what is it called? I got it printed out. Check.org, you know?
Right.
And that was one of the steps that they recommended to try.
Right. Now, with Restore Health, you're supposed to point it. You're supposed to have another parameter called /source, which points to your ISO, your installation medium.
Uh-huh.
And then follow that with /limit access, capital L, capital A, but no space in between limit and access. if you didn't do that, then it definitely will not find the files.
Right. Okay. So maybe before I wipe out the download, and maybe I should try and do those all those command things, but remember to put in the spaces.
Yes, absolutely. That's easily the first thing to do. Put on those spaces. Remember that the if you're using Restore Health, it's got a point. You've got to point it to your original installation CD or the ISO medium that you downloaded or whatever it is before that will work, because you may the brilliant error messages at Microsoft when it says can't find the files might be because it can't find the original installation files.
Right. But bear in mind, though, that I downloaded Windows 10. You know, I don't have the actual...
No, I understand that. Point it at that, if that's what it has to be. If you have it, if you downloaded the Windows 10 installer as an ISO, for example, just point it at that.
Okay.
But you got to point it at something.
Gotcha. And if all else fails, then wipe out the download totally.
Right.
Now, if that fails, would there be any, use in going back to Windows 7 and then going back up to Windows 10? Is that a possibility?
That won't help any at that point, I'm afraid.
One thing you could do is just turn off the automatic installer or updater.
Yeah, the problem
download
is...
Download the updates and install them manually.
But you have to still download and install them.
Yeah,
but like
can't do an installation, that's an issue that has to be dealt with rather than just ignoring it. Because at some point, you then are not updating important parts that would keep you safe. Right.
Yeah, I definitely want this. I just, I just can't get it.
Right. No, I get that. And I do... take another look online at the DISM... command and make sure you got all the parts, including /source:WIM: and then the path and then /limit-access and all the other stuff. Make sure you got all the parts of the command in there with the correct spaces and the correct capitalization.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Generally, yes, Microsoft doesn't care about capitalization. In this case, they kind of do.
Right. It's like an old DOS screen almost, it looks, reminds me of.
It's essentially the same thing, yes. They gave it a new name, but it's basically DOS.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Appreciate your help, your suggestions, and we'll give it the old college try.
Thank you, and thank you for being a member. Have fun.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye. And you can be a member, too. It's really easy to do. Give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And if you don't like talking to humans, and you should, because Sandy's a lovely human being, if you don't want to talk to Sandy, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And all you slackers listening to this thing during the week, that's where you pledge, jazz901.org. We can be better than the average. The average worldwide of people who buy shareware or pledge for this sort of station or any of that stuff is 10%. Mm-hmm. We can beat that. We're better than that. And we can prove it to them easily. The easy way to do that is, of course, to become a member. And the best way to become a member is to become a Jazz-O-Matic member. If you join as a Jazz-O-Matic member, $10 a month or more, we make it automatic. We automatically deduct that from your account.
You won't even miss it.
You won't even miss it. It's 10 bucks a month. It's nothing. And
one latte these days?
Yeah, it's basically, one visit to Starbucks is 10 bucks. That's... And you do that 5-6 times a week. So don't even pretend you can't afford 10 bucks a month.
Yeah, really.
Don't even pretend.
Yeah, it's 10 bucks a month, folks. Not a week.
Right.
Not a day.
Right.
A month.
Right.
Because if you want to give us 10 bucks a week, that's fine.
Yeah, that's enough.
We'll take as much as you.
40 bucks a month from Jazz-O-Matic would be great. But you can do that very easily, and it's a simple step. You can do that all week long, or you can do it now by calling 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. And of course, pledge securely online at jazz901.org.
As a matter of fact, just last week we had, if I remember correctly, at least two people called in and said that they were Jazz-O-Matic, members, and how easy it was for them that they could sit back and say, oh, yeah, that's already happening.
Yep.
Just us mentioning it reminded them, and it's like, oh, yeah, I'm still a member. Because Jazz-O-Matic is, you know, taking it out once a month, and they don't even have to think about it, and they're done, and they don't miss it.
That's
As
right.
one young lady said, I don't even miss it now because right. it just happens automatically. $10.
$10, it's nothing. It's not even noticeable. Like I said, like Steve said, it's one latte, maybe a latte and a half, actually. But, you know, a month, it's nothing. It's nothing. You waste more, you lose more than your cushions. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Howdy, folks. This is Dan Gross. You can listen to me Mondays 6 to 8 p.m. here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Andy from Greece, New York on the line. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hi, guys. Happy Easter to everybody.
Happy Easter to you, too.
It's your day to talk to Andy.
It is. We're very excited.
Yes. You've had two in a row now.
Exactly.
We have a third one to call in. Couple of things. You were talking about cassette decks earlier.
Yeah.
Where the heck do you find one these days?
You don't, pretty much.
UA Reed says they're all junk.
Rob just went through that trying to get a professional cassette deck for the studio here. And they have the first three they got, two of them failed, I think it was. So it's a really hard time finding them. Even radio stations that still need to use cassettes.
Right. It's hard. I'm sure that you can buy a semi, at least, high-end professional one for an awful lot of money somewhere. But for home users, it's one of the reasons we're having a fun drive right now is that we can afford to upgrade some of our equipment. But for the individual in their homes, finding any type deck is just very hard now.
You may want to go to some of the higher end audio stores like Dave or Stereo Shop or. Play something. Real Photo does more photos. I don't know if they do much audio, but they might.
It used to be Real Photo Video and Audio. So.
Yeah. They still probably do.
I guess we all shortened it to Real Photo, and maybe they did too.
Yeah.
So I would imagine if they don't stock them, they would at least know what they could find.
Yeah. I have like 50 or 60 cassette tapes that I'd like to rip off into MP3 files so I can start storing them and using them again.
Sure. I have seen, who is it, Crossley? They make a combo turntable cassette deck CD burner.
Oh, nice.
That it is designed to record, either send it into your computer to make an MP3 or burn it as a CD. So I've seen those in stores. Not very expensive, so you won't get super quality out of it. But one of the turntables I had once, they advertised it was a direct belt drive, and so I looked at it once, and it's a rubber band.
Yeah, it's the direct belt, exactly.
Yeah. Well, okay. Well, I'm still looking. I've got a couple of little portable units that if I put a headphone jack into the headphone jack and ran it into the mic in on the computer, I could probably get it to work that way too.
Probably.
Yeah, you may need to put a preamp in the middle to get
a decent sound
out of it. But it's possible.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
It is the first of the month coming up tomorrow, so that means Thursday will be the 5th and the first Thursday of the month.
Right.
So it will be the Rochester Google's meeting at 7:00 at St. John's Meadow on Elmwood Avenue.
Right.
And everybody who would like to come is more than welcome. And we talk about all things Google and Android, and we even get all kinds of other things thrown in there. May discuss a Windows problem or two as we go.
Right.
And tax Nick's memory.
Exactly. Which is not hard to do these days.
But it's
everything tax. What do they have for breakfast?
A lot of information comes out, and it's it's a nice roundtable discussion for a couple hours.
And a good time is had by all. Exactly. All right, thanks.
All right. Well, you guys enjoy Easter, and we'll be listening.
You too. Have fun.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
This is a pretty hectic weekend. We've got, of course, it's Easter. It's Passover. It's a full blue moon.
Right.
And it's April Fool's Day. So send all your kids outside to hunt for Easter eggs you didn't hide. April Fool's. Oh,
speaking of that, my cousin saw it online. And you know those little, what are they, little cabbages? Those little...
Brussels sprouts?
Brussels sprouts, yes. She wound up, saw that online. It's going viral now anyways. But she did do this for the kids. She got some of those Brussels sprouts, got the sucker sticks, put them in there, and she got dark chocolate. She loves doing all kinds of Easter stuff,
sure.
You know, the molds and all that. And she dipped them in dark chocolate. So she's got them sitting there.
It's a nice chocolate on the outside. You bite into them, and it's a crappy Brussels sprout?
Kids, kids, there is no jury on earth who would convict you.
So she did
just
that
so
with
you
all
know.
The other chocolate that she makes, because she gets into it big time. I mean, she'll do the molds and, you know, special hand coloring and all this other stuff. And but she saw that, and she goes, I got to do it. A lot of the family members were going hysterical. She says, well, I saw it online. It's a great idea.
No, it's not.
It's Easter April Fool's.
I saw one similar to that where you take the chocolate egg wrappings.
Yeah,
the foil wrappings, and you wrap up, you know, Brussels sprouts or broccoli or something like that in the chocolate egg wrappings.
Right.
So when the kids see all the, you know, big mound of chocolate egg wrappings, and
yeah, right. All right. Before we get back to the phones, I want to thank Edward and Betty and David and Craig. Edward is our latest Jazz-O-Matic member. Thank you very much. And he would, I'm sure, tell you how utterly painless it was to do and how, there we go, and how utterly painless it will be every month. And we thank all of you for your very generous donations. And remember, you can pledge as well. No amount too small, no amount too large. It's about becoming a member of the family, not about pledging a large amount of money. And it's easy to do. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And this is the push. This is the week you need to pledge. We would like to be done with this drive by Friday at 6 o'clock. And the only way we do that is for you to make the pledge. We're only about $14,000 shy. This is the day we can do this as the Soundbites family. We can make up that money this week. I know we can. So please make that call, make that pledge. In the meantime, we will go back to the phones. And we currently have Andy? No, we had Andy. Now we have Dave from, I want to say...
Hold on. I got to get him on there.
Okay.
I'm
all right.
A little behind.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. Dave was taking a nap. So we have to wait for just a moment for Dave to catch up. But yeah, absolutely. Please make that call and make that pledge. It's we want to end this drive even more than you do. Trust me on this one. And we need you to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And now we do have Dave. Where are you calling from, Dave?
From Churchville, New York.
Churchville, not Canandaigua.
It started with
Churchville.
A C. You were close.
I was not. Well, close. Geographically, yeah. I was closer than, like, yeah. Hawaii.
You had one letter, right?
Yeah. Okay, so what's up, Dave?
I know you must be talking about this a lot lately, but the Windows 10 update.
Oh, yeah.
I've got a machine that's 5 years old, and it's not at the manufacturer's website. It's not listed as a Creators Update compatible machine anywhere. Am I looking at, like, really just needing to replace a 5-year-old computer, or should I hope that somehow the version 1709 is going to update magically. I haven't had any success with that yet.
Yeah, there's very little magic in Windows. I'm sorry. I wish there were, but there is not. And so I know that 5 years old doesn't seem like much. In computer years, it's ancient.
Yeah. And we talk about cat years, you know, it's like seven, dog years, 7 years. You know, computers, it's about 20.
Yeah, it really
human
is.
Year.
Yeah. And so while it may work, certainly nobody is going to promise you that.
And the other option is just don't upgrade and be wary of the fact that now you're not getting the latest security updates.
And the third option is put Linux on it and it'll run like a top.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the hitch to it is I have some music software on it, you know, for editing and creating music that I'm in love with, and
right.
I do want to maintain that. So the other thought is maybe I upgrade my computer, but then I keep this machine running as an offline independent machine. Maybe.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. And before you go to Windows 10, check with the manufacturer of the software you love and see if it is Windows 10 compatible, just in case.
Yeah, in case they want you to then upgrade that software for another version that it will be compatible with Windows 10, which is more money out of your pocket.
Right.
Right, right. Well, currently it's running on the Windows 10 version on my machine now, so as long as I keep it up to date and secure for the moment, I guess I'm okay. But thanks for the advice about the age of a machine. You kind of told me what I was expecting to hear anyway.
And Dave, you have a 5-year-old machine. The minute you hang up, back up. I'm not kidding.
Oh yeah, no. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back up. Okie doke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have an external drive, and I have all of my stuff backed up.
And that's a good start.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks.
All right, well, thanks for your help today.
Thank you. Have fun.
That's always a pain. People come into our shop all the time to buy a new computer after the old one broke.
Right.
And before they ever made a backup. Well, just copy the data. Your computer's broken. I probably can't copy the data.
Right. Depends on what broke.
Yeah. So replace your computer before it breaks.
Yeah. Right.
And always have a backup.
Always have a backup. And I was telling my class yesterday, I said, you know, system administrators, which is what I was, are professional paranoids. You cannot have enough backups. You cannot. And so when somebody tells me they have one backup, I'm like, okay, better than zero, not as good as seven.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's look, it doesn't matter how new your machine is. We've all seen the infant mortality rates on hardware. They're high. Most components have a mean and average life of 5 years. That means some of them last 10 years and some of them die out of the box. So you are somewhere on that continuum. And the closer you are to 5 years, the more likely it is that something's going to go wrong. So back up. Every single human being listening to this show today, whether you're listening live or you're listening on the podcast during the week, back up now. Do not wait. Somebody's going to call next week and say, you know, you told us to back up last week, and I was going to do it, and then Tuesday my machine died. Back up now. That's your job for this afternoon. Or, of course, if you've got a house full of family tomorrow and you don't want to be involved with them, you can hide in the computer room and do it tomorrow. But I suggest you do not wait and do it today.
We had a customer that brought in a machine with a 10-year-old machine with a RAID mirror, two-drive RAID mirror.
Right, right, right.
And one of the drives failed. The worst possible failure is one drive of a mirror. So we sent it off to the commercial forensic recovery company. If he wanted the slow turnaround, it was $5,000.
Yep.
If he wanted the fast turnaround, it was $7,000.
Yep.
He decided it wasn't worth that much.
And that's the thing. Mirroring drives speed on a RAID array.
That gives you speed.
It doesn't really give you a backup.
Yep.
backing up is having your files on a different device somewhere, and more than one device is good. Having it on an external drive is good. Having a second copy out on the web is better. Having a third copy, rather, out on the web is better. Having a fourth copy on CDs or a tape drive or a hard drive somewhere else on your network is better. Having a fifth copy on someone else's hard drive is better.
Yep.
So you
I'm really annoyed that CrashPlan is discontinuing their free backup to a friend's computer service.
Yeah.
Because I do that with my home and work. So my home computer is backed up at work, and my work computer is backed up at home, and it's all free through the CrashPlan service. I get that, you know, the idea they give you this service free, so you pay for the bigger service at your company. But most of the services are in the $5 or $6 a month for unlimited cloud backup. Not too bad when you consider it could be $5,000 to recover the data from your drive, and even then it's not guaranteed.
The big thing, though, we got to tell folks, though, and stress is, you know, when you're looking at these backups, I hear this a lot. Folks say, well, there's so much there to back up. Don't back up the whole hard drive. It's your data.
But that can be a lot because photos.
Yeah.
That's one thing we said. Would you cry if you lost everything on the computer?
I don't understand the concept of it's too much to back up. Yeah. That's like saying I'm too rich to put my money in a bank. A
terabyte hard drive is what? $100
less? $100.
Yeah.
The more you have, the more you should back it up. I don't get that at all. No, I'm sorry. That's not just a bad excuse. It's a lame, lousy bad excuse. All right. Listen, that music tells us you wasted an hour of your life with this nonsense, but I know that you're a slow learner, and so you're going to get another chance to do it on the other side. We're going to take a slightly longer break, but we'll be back with a whole nother hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. So unless you're very quick at the dial, you're going to be stuck listening to Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. We'll be back for a whole nother hour of sound bites and the truly great and truly grateful to you, because we are indeed solely member-supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
This is 90.1 WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District and official media partner of this year's Xerox Rochester International Jazz Festival. Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And in 4 minutes after the hour, we're bringing you news, views, more things to choose. Get ready to rumble. It's sound bites.
I was to say, you didn't hurt anything, did you?
All right. Here's a news item that Dave insisted I read.
Yeah.
Apple unveiled a new iPad aimed at classrooms and other educational tools on Tuesday in a bid to catch up to Google for students' attention and win more student districts' dollars. Apple said the new 9.7-inch iPad includes a faster processor and supports Apple Pencil, a stylus that previously paired with its pricier iPad Pros. The device costs $299 for schools and $329 for consumers, or $300 for schools and $330 for consumers.
Although they don't add the 0.99 cent like every other price tag.
Right. Which is the same price as the previous version. The Apple Pencil was priced at $90 for schools. The company and I don't know what it costs for consumers. The company also increased the amount of cloud storage for students to 200 gigabytes from 5 gigabytes. which is the cheapest thing you can have.
Yeah.
You know, the hell, give them a terabyte. In addition, Apple announced new software for the classroom that includes schoolwork, an app for teachers to create and track assignments and updates to its productivity apps for education. The company also showed off a curriculum called Everyone Can Create that helps teach students skills in music, video, photography, and art. Apple, Google, and Microsoft are each aiming to accustom school children to their operating systems to win the next generation of lifelong customers. You know, the old saw that the Jesuits say, give me your child before he's seven and he's mine for life.
Mm-hmm.
Our place at the intersection of technology and the liberal arts makes it possible for us to create powerful products and tools that amplify learning and creativity, said Tim Cook, Apple's chief executive. Even Amazon got in the act on Tuesday, announcing a plan to give students access to resources in its Amazon Web Services cloud network. Apple has some catching up to do. Mac laptops and iPads were once the dominant devices in American classrooms, but Google has shot past Apple with inexpensive Chromebook laptops. Excuse me. Google has also led the way in software products designed specifically for schools, with an app called Google Classroom that teachers use to take attendance, assign homework, and do other tasks. Of the 12.4 million tablets and laptops shipped to primary and secondary schools in the United States just last year, Chromebooks accounted for 58% of the market. Compared to the in 2012, they had a negligible share. They were just basically coming out. In the same period, the share of iPads and Macs fell to 22% from about half. And Microsoft Windows devices dropped to 18% from about 45%. So from Apple and Microsoft essentially splitting the market, with Apple a little bit ahead,
mm-hmm.
we now have Google at 58% of the market. And Apple at 22% of the market, and Windows down to 18% of the market. School district embraced Chromebooks because they are comparatively inexpensive. They're easy to use. The laptops are cloud-based, so they can be shared among students who can pick up any device to get access to their documents. School districts could use a software dashboard, for which is free, to manage thousands of devices at once. Districts that needed to institute online testing began buying Chromebooks in bulk. Time to take the online test. Here's your Chromebook for this class. Sign in and go. Still, Apple generates the most revenue from school hardware sales in the United States, partially because its devices cost more. Of the $54 billion spent on school devices last year in the United States, $5.4 billion. Apple's iPads and laptops accounted for $2.1 billion, followed by Chromebooks at $1.95 billion and Windows devices at $1.35 billion. So, Chromebook or iPad? And why? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
I think it's, again, try to do too much too late. Because, again, Chromebooks, which we keep raving about, is one, you don't have much of an operating system to maintain. It doesn't get viruses, doesn't get spyware, can't be hacked. Hello, as an administrator, why would I want those headaches and to take them on?
Right. I mean, right.
Very, very similar advantages on the iPad as well. And one thing that Apple touts is with the App Store, seems to be a little better vetted than the Google Store, although
right.
they both find things and remove things later.
Right.
But the management that the administration can put on the devices to prevent... In fact, I have one in the shop now that we can't fix yet until they remove the management services because we can't get into the stuff we
right.
need to.
Right, 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 right. And same thing with the Google. I will say I have used an early version of the iPad management software. It was horrible. I hope it's better because it was horrifyingly bad. I have used the Google software and it's amazingly easy. I hope that the iPad software is too. Speaking of,
there's several third party companies making management software now too. So that's
right,
that helps.
Right, that helps.
Jamf, that's the big one.
Jamf.
J-A-M-F. Jamf. In fact, they have a free version if for two devices. So
oh, that's nice.
Home users can try it out and
right.
And it also is a great way for a business to try it on two devices before they commit to it.
Right. I have to say this morning I was looking something up on my phone and I went to a website and all of a sudden I got this pop-up from U.S., and I won't tell you the name. Your system is heavily damaged by four virus.
Four
not
virus?
Four virus. Not viruses. Four virus.
And the F is capital, and it shouldn't be.
And the F is capitalized. We detect, and they knew my phone, your Samsung Galaxy S5, is 28.1% damaged. Capital damage, by the way. Damage to capital letters.
To one significant digit. Nice.
Right. Very nice. 28.1%. Yeah. Holy crap, it's over 28%. Yeah. Because of four harmful viruses from recent adult sites. I can definitively state I have never gone to an adult site on my phone. Not once. Not ever. Soon it will damage your phone's SIM card and will corrupt your contacts, photos, data, applications, etc. If you do not remove the virus now, it will cause severe damage to your phone. Here's what you need in capital letters, to do, step by step. Step one, tap the button and install AppLock for free on Google Play. Step two, open the app to speed up and fix your browser now. Warning, it goes on and on. I'm not going to read it all. And then when you...
Does it explain how to sideload an app because you can't get it from the App Store?
Yeah, exactly. and then when they when I get rid of that page, and the page behind it was an actual web page that they had sent me to. It had the Google logo. It had the broken robot. It was really, really good. I, of course, just laughed and ignored it, but people are going to fall for that kind of stuff.
Definitely.
Particularly since they know what phone you've got. That's easy. That's just a software command. Yeah. The phones tell you which version of the
just phone like
you
when
have.
A lot of folks are surprised, and these sites can tell you your IP address.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's.
So they have to know your IP address because they sent the data to you.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So, you know, but a lot of folks are, no, they know that. So if they know that, they know a lot of other stuff. Yeah, no.
Right, right.
It's just public, folks.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Yeah. That's a good one, though.
That was a really good one, I have to say.
That'd be good for a good chuckle.
That was a good one.
Of course, then you need that kid who has done some fantastic videos or YouTube videos where he's getting scammed. And he plays along with them.
Oh, right.
And he draws them out for 15 to 20 minutes. And, you know, at the end, he'll sit there and say, good. Well, at least I tied you up for whatever minutes that you can't sucker somebody else into.
Yep.
Yep.
Because, you know, they're wanting them to go to Target and get all these cards, gift cards and all that.
We had another customer get scammed by that recently. You know, thinking, I just bought $1,000 worth of gift cards and I don't know what to do with them. Well, they're probably worthless now because you read the number to the guy over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like a credit card. You read the number to someone over the phone, they steal all your money. They don't need the physical card.
Nope.
Right, right, right.
You just gave them the keys.
Yep.
So never believe any of those messages that pop up. You know, never let the remote technician into your computer to fix the problem.
Always turn the machine off. Shut the machine down and restart it.
Right. However, you can believe me right now when I tell you that we are in a pledge drive.
Yes.
And we need you to pledge. It's real easy to do. The point here is, of course, we are on week three of this pledge drive, and we'd like to be done by this Friday at 6 o'clock. We only have about $14,000 to go. We can do this. This show alone could do it. We only have about 10% of our listeners who are members. And if the other 90%, heck, if even 50% of you were to pledge, this pledge drive would be over. And it's real easy to do. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. If you don't want to talk to the lovely and talented Sandy, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It's easy to do. Takes less than 2 minutes of your time. Gives us the funds and incentive, by the way, to keep going for another 6 months, and we need you to help. You can also become a Jazz-O-Matic member for $10 a month or more. You get to pledge at that level, and then we automatically deduct that from your account every month, and it's painless. And as these guys said, it's basically a latte and a half a month. A month. You spend more than that a day getting your lattes, and you know you do. By the time you get that latte and that muffin, muffin, you spent $10 right there. Yep. And we're only asking, that's a day, and we're only asking for it a month. So you know you can afford it, and you know you love this show, and you love this station. So make the call. Make the pledge. In the meantime, we will go back to the phones, and we will talk to Mark, who is somewhere on the road. On the road again. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi. I wanted to tell you that I made the jump into doing the scary thing that you don't like to do, hardware. And I told myself, you know, don't be scared. And I opened up my computer and I added a hard drive and I replaced a DVD drive with a Blu-ray drive, and I did okay.
Excellent. Nice. Cool. Congratulations.
I bought a strap, you know, a grounding strap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I made sure I didn't fry anything.
Excellent. That's the right way to do it.
It wasn't so bad. I kind of was learning as I went along, because for the past, like, I don't know, month and a half, I've gone through the house and gotten all the old electronics out and started recycling them. And the computers, I tore the hard drives out of them. So I was learning how to take things apart in many ways.
That's step one, putting them back together is harder.
I suggest that to anybody that wants to start doing a little bit of their own hardware work.
Yep.
Is to start tearing apart your old computers you're gonna recycle.
That's a brilliant idea. Thank you, Mark. That's
because,
a great idea.
You know, first thing, you don't want to give anybody your hard drive.
Well, I was just about to compliment you on taking the hard drives out. When you recycle something, remove the hard drives. Then you can take a drill through them or a punch press. Or,
oh, I love just taking a sledgehammer
really
to them.
Sledgehammer to them, and then you can send them on to be recycled. But you don't want to give anybody your data.
Yeah, I said, it's not going to hurt me in any way. I actually took the hard drive out of my old HP that was a 250-gig hard drive.
Uh-huh.
And it's from 2006, and I put it in the computer I got, and it fired up, and I was pleasantly surprised to see that it's still working very well, and I'm going to use it for just some temporary stuff. It's not going to be for any major storage, and that's another way of recycling it.
That's exactly right. You
can
have,
when it dies. It's just temporary storage when I do video editing or music editing or something like that.
Just perfect.
Another little tip, though, as you're taking stuff apart, another good way is if you don't, you know, because you're literally destroying everything in it anyhow, but if you want to save some of the components, what you can also do is leave the thing plugged in. As long as it's got a three-prong plug.
Right.
Okay, you leave that plugged in, you don't turn it on, and you touch the case.
Mm-hmm.
And hold on to the case, and I more or less lean on it. I'm grounding myself.
Right.
So that way I can go ahead and hit the other drives. I can take out the memory. If I'm going to take out the CPU, you can do that. And you're not going to be transferring any electrical, you know, current through that, because you're grounded.
Right.
Staying grounded to that.
A strap is better because now you have both hands
free. But a lot of folks, you know, trying to find a strap, you got to go to what used
Gold
to be
Crest
an old Radio Shack or Goldcrest or one of those places.
I found it at a local computer shop.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
They had them.
Good.
Of course, they should. They should, yes.
So, you know, that wasn't so bad, but that was fun.
Excellent.
That was a lot of fun. And the other thing is I was one of the people that said my Alexa is listening to me.
Uh-huh.
You know, my Echo, I just got it recently. I was given as a gift, an Echo Show.
Nice.
And I love it.
Good for you. All right, thank you so much. We got to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 20 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites. It's the truly great and truly grateful to you to be member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Otto Bruno. Join me every Sunday from 12 to 2 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I would like to thank both Lynn and Brian, our newest Jazz 90.1 Soundbites family members. Brian is a Jazz-O-Matic member, and I'm sure he would tell you how utterly painless it was, and we appreciate that completely. Thank you so much. At 25 minutes after the hour, yes, we're still in the pledge drive. I'd love to say we were in the last minutes of it, but that's all up to you folks. And unless you're making that call and making that pledge, this pledge drive goes on like our hearts. And it's easy to make that pledge. You can call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. You can call toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. And remember, we have well over 600 people every single week who download and listen to our podcast around the world. And we need you to step up to the plate. It costs money to have the bandwidth and the internet connection and
just the studio.
Well, right? I'm talking about specifically for the podcast.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it costs money to store those things. It costs money to provide those things. It costs money for bandwidth. It costs money. And we need your help to make sure that that stuff remains available. Don't plan on everybody else doing it. All you have to do is make that call, make that pledge, and you can be part of the Soundbites family. It takes less than 2 minutes of your time. What are you waiting for? You're backing up your machine anyway because you remember we told you you had to do it today. So while you're sitting there watching the backup, pick up the phone and make the call. Mm-hmm. It's a match made in heaven, or at least on Jazz 90.1, which is the next best thing.
Yep.
So you can make that call and make that pledge. We would be delighted to have you do that.
And while you're doing that, you can still keep continuing listening to us and our advice. Which, again, you're getting
triple play
for your little time that we're taking out of your life and asking you to do us a favor. We're filling you with more knowledge on what to do as far as your backups and everything else. You've heard numerous callers call in. They're having an issue with this or that. You know what? We're here every week giving you this free advice.
Yep.
And it's only twice a year we come along and say, hey, give us a helping hand here because, you know what, it's tax deductible. You gain a lot out of it. So, you know, where are you losing? There is no
loss. There's no loss.
Yeah.
It's win-win-win-win-win. So.
And even with your memberships, Rob is including a lot of great gifts that you could take advantage of.
That's right. At the $50 membership level, you can have the Soundbites thumb drive. At the $90 and 10 cent level, you can have the member card, the Jazz 90.1. And let me tell you again about this Jazz 90.1 member card. What an amazing thing. You get, it's essentially money off or BOGO, buy one, get one, on, like, I think it's 150 zillion places now. It's restaurants, it's wineries, it's online shopping, it's everywhere. And I put a link on our website, which is probably no longer near the top, but what about the Jazz 90.1 member card, and it links you right to the list, which keeps growing and growing, of the number of places that take the card. And it's so easy. You just go in and say, hi, I'm a Jazz member card, here it is, and they take money off your bill. It's really that simple. And although it's not everywhere in the country yet, there are many, many, many places around the country where if you're going to travel there for a week or two, you call up the member card people directly and say, here's my member card number. I'm going to Florida for a week, or I'm going to Georgia, or wherever you're going. And they will send you a card. So do it early enough.
Yeah.
They will send you a card that works in that place. So even if you're not in Rochester, you can take advantage. And in fact, on vacation is when you really want to take advantage of a buy one, get one.
And saving you more money.
Save yourself money. You will, I promise you, if you eat out with even a little bit of regularity, say once a month, that card pays for your membership in that year. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
So make the call. Make the pledge, 585-966-5299, 800-790-0415, jazz901.org. Takes less than 2 minutes of your time. You'll feel better, we'll feel better, and you get free stuff. How do you lose?
Right, exactly. going back, though, for a minute, before you go on to the next news article, back to the Chromebooks and the, you know, your opinion, though. I still personally think, like so many other companies, that, you know, that there's a great idea out there, and they think, oh, well, we're going to try to do it.
Right.
And do it. And they come on too late. Prime example is, say, like VHS tapes, going back quite a way. All of a sudden, Kodak thought, oh, we should get into that. Yep. And they do. And just like the Polaroid cameras and, you know, trying to copy those. It was too much too late. And that's why I think it's going to be
too Apple's. Too little too late.
Yeah, too little too late. And I think it's going to be Apple's issue, too. And the pricing. You know, because they're so proprietary that, you know, you're going to have to pay their price. Whereas Chromebooks, there's so many manufacturers, again, that are going to make them. It's going to be competitive. Whereas Apple, that's it. Sorry.
That's it. And the other part of the problem is I don't think Apple understands the market. I believe, I talk to a lot of education people all week long. I believe that the main thing they're doing with Chromebooks is buying inexpensive devices that let their students do papers and research online.
Mm-hmm.
And while you can do research easily with an iPad, you cannot easily write with an iPad. The on-screen keyboard is tiring because it has no give, it has no feedback, and if you want to do it, you now have to pay another $100 for the keyboard. In addition, now you're looking at even without it, it's what,
For the 329 for the 10-inch.
329 for the 10-inch iPad. I can buy two inexpensive Chromebooks for that. And the schools are not buying huge Chromebooks. They're not buying super fast, super wonderful. They just buy the minimum $150, $130, $180 Chromebooks. That's all they need for schools. 2 gig of RAM, a semi-decent processor. You know, if you want to spend $300 for a Chromebook, that's you. Schools don't need to spend that. So if I can buy one iPad or two Chromebooks as a school administrator, which am I going to do?
Exactly.
You know, and so I don't think Apple quite understands them. Well, part of it, of course, is Apple doesn't have a product in that price range.
Yeah, they're going after the higher tier level where they can make that
price. The real question becomes, if I am a school administrator, I'm going to look at the people who come to me and say, iPads, and say, why am I spending twice as much? Or why am I spending the same amount and getting half the stuff?
And I have to do more maintenance.
And they have to justify that, and they have to do more maintenance.
Well, see, now Google is facing the problem you were talking about. iPad is the name. Everyone knows.
Yep.
And we still have people will come in with an Android tablet and call it my iPad.
Right. No,
that's the name they know.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's a problem because now it's Kleenex.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
So, right.
Yeah. No, we run into that at work. Say, my iPad's not working right. And I come across the radio and said, since when did yours get iPad loaded onto your system?
Right.
Well, I mean the tablet.
Yeah. Well, like people even call us to do that, and then I'll start giving them instructions on how to fix the problem on an iPad, and they can't find, you know, the settings app. Because it's not an iPad.
It's an Android.
Right.
Yeah.
No, and I get that. But that's a separate issue for Apple, right? And you're right. It gives them a name. So I can say we bought 100 iPads, but then somebody else is going to say we could have bought 200 Chromebooks.
Yeah, the early success is a hazard sometimes.
It is a hazard sometimes. And the other issue, of course, is now they're saying, well, they'll give you you only get 100 gig with
That's a more annoying thing. Apple only gives you 5 gigs of free storage space.
Well, they just upped it to 200 gig.
But only for students.
For students.
Not for everyone else.
Right.
It is among the lowest of the free storage tiers.
Right.
I think the only one lower I know about is Dropbox, which is 2 gigs.
Right.
Google gives you 15. Microsoft gives you 10.
But Google gives you 15, except that if you use their format.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count against that 15.
And I've got all the photos.
I've got tens of thousands of documents and 15,000 photos up there, and I've used a total of 2 gig of my 19 gig of storage.
And I pay zero.
The other thing that Apple Storage is used for is backing up your device.
Right.
So you just buy your brand new 64 gig iPhone, and you only get 5 gigs of backup storage.
Yep, that's
it should be much higher than that. And it should be per device. So, you know, I've got my phone and my iPad. I can't back them both up because
you really can't back either one up.
Right, I can't back either one, but yeah. So, and so that becomes an issue too.
Right.
Plus, you're also being contended with the maintenance on these devices. Right. Chromebooks, which don't get infected, don't need the updates, or they do the updates, and you know,
it's automatic.
Automatic. What are they going to charge for updates with the Mac?
Right. You don't know. And it's an interesting dichotomy. The other thing is, for the price of an iPad, I can buy two Chromebooks and put one in the closet in case I lose the first one.
Yeah. And again, you know, the maintenance is just so much easier to do. Like you say, at the end of the school year, they just reset it and boom, hand it back out.
Right.
And
zero it out, you're done. Here it is.
How are they going to redo that on a, you know, an iPad?
Right.
Well,
it can be done. It's just not as it's not a one-step process.
And we run into situations both ways. When it's a school device with the management software on it, the school can erase it easily. Mm-hmm. But we work with some companies that don't use management. So the individual person put their personal ID on it. And then that person leaves. We can't erase the device without that person's password. And usually when you leave a company, it's under unfriendly terms. So you're not going to give them your password.
Right.
So we've tried telling them that has to be part of your exit process. When he gives you back the security badge and you take the keys back from him, whatever, you get his device that the company may have given him. When you get that device back, make sure he logs out of the account and puts in his passwords so that you can now use that device for somebody else.
Right. Well, he should do that right in front of you.
Yeah, it's that's got to be part of your exit process when you fire someone.
Right.
Yep.
Or when they leave voluntarily, you know, whatever. But that's got to be part of the exit process. So if you run a company that issues devices to your employees, make sure you have that in your exit process. If you're going to get that device back, some companies just let the person keep the device. Mm-hmm. If you're going to get that device back, make sure they sign out of their Apple account or sign out of their Google account, because you can't do it later without their password.
Or give you the passwords and with you there in front of them, type it in just to verify that it works, and then you can, you know, tape that to the device and clean it up later.
Yeah.
But just to verify that you can get into it.
Right. And so and again with Chromebooks it's easy. You just go in and say, do this. You can even log in as a guest and do
some
of that.
The biggest thing, though, that what is kind of makes it for me is the iPads, one company. Chromebooks, you've got multiple companies that are going to be competing for these dollars because that's just the way they are.
Well, and that's just it. The numbers I'm quoting are retail numbers.
Right.
And Apple, you know that's their price.
Yep.
But if I put out a bid for Chromebooks for 150 or 200 Chromebooks, I'm going to have Asus and Acer and Lenovo and Toshiba and everybody
else.
It's
going to be competitive.
Right, bidding against each other. And so the price will come even lower.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know, and I get it. Apple has always believed in being the high-end people, and I get that. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah.
But schools these days are not looking for high-end.
No, they're trying to cut. The way budgets are being constantly cut, and teachers are saying, you know, that they got. Look, a lot of teachers wind up adding supplies to their, buying supplies out of their own money for students because, they've already cut the budget on those.
But there's going to be money to train them to use guns? No, sorry.
Right.
That's a different show.
A whole different show. But here's the other thing. If I were the parent of a child in one of those schools now, I would want to know why they bought the higher-end product instead of the lower-end product. Sorry.
We had some interesting problems. One of the local school districts here issued Apple devices to their students. And my boss has kids in that district. And some people in the district thought she forced the school to do this deal. To do this deal because she happened. We would have loved to sell the school all those computers, but no, it was Apple corporate. We had nothing to do with it.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ramini, Francesco, and you. It's 39 minutes after the hour. You have plenty of time to make the call and make the pledge. We'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More sound bites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1. Everybody get up. computer problems? Get answers from the experts. Sound Bites, noon to two Saturdays, only on Jazz 90.1.
Everybody get up. Go to the phone. Make the call. Pledge. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. And we have Tom from Brighton on the line. What's up, Tom?
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. So I got a Lenovo laptop, and it's running Windows 10. And fairly recently, I noticed after running it for a while, the mouse suddenly stops moving and just disappears. And the only way to get it back is to just reboot the computer. What do you think is going on?
And this is, was this a machine that upgraded from 7?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a patch, because I had a client that was having that issue, and it was a patch that I had to put on there because, yeah, the Windows mouse would get hidden, and you just have to run this patch at startup, and it unhides it, because it also sometimes... another issue is the glide pads. It can also turn that on and off.
What was the last thing you mentioned?
The glide pad. You know, the little touch pad or trackpad?
Or.
Yeah,
trackpad. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it can turn that off, which, okay. You know, as far as moving the mouse around or anything else.
Yeah.
But there are some patches out there to unhide, what they call unhide the mouse.
Is this a Windows 10 problem or a Lenovo problem?
It's a Windows 10 problem.
Windows 10.
Are you using an actual mouse or are you using the touchpad?
I'm using a mouse, a regular, you know.
Plugs into USB?
That's a wireless mouse, yeah. Runs through a USB receiver that's inserted into the mouse.
Right. Well, if this mouse, did you have this mouse before you did the upgrade?
Yes.
There you go. Your basic problem is likely to be that the Windows 7 driver did not get updated to Windows 10.
Okay.
So what you need to do is go to the website of the manufacturer of the mouse.
Okay.
And download the Windows 10 driver for that.
Okay.
Then go into the device manager and uninstall the driver for the mouse. A device manager, mice and other pointing devices, right click on the mouse driver and then select properties, go to the driver tab, click on install, click OK, reboot, and then it'll ask you, it'll come up and say, I found a new device, and then you say, okay. So it'll say either, do you want me to find the driver or do you want to give me the driver? And then you say, here's the driver's here, you know, wherever you put it on your hard drive.
It may even work by deleting the driver, rebooting, and letting Windows find the right driver for it.
Right. Windows, that may work as well. But the point is, excuse me, in many instances, many instances, Windows 7 to 10 upgrade did not properly handle drivers.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Ever since that initial upgrade from 7 to 10, Microsoft has had a number of updates to Windows 10 itself.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with the driver. Those don't update the driver.
Oh, it doesn't update the driver. Okay.
Right. The driver is an entirely separate issue. Once Windows 10 mistakenly said, this driver is good.
Okay, it stays there.
It stays there.
Yep. Till you uninstall it.
Okay. Thanks again.
Yep. Good luck.
Take care. Bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Now, I don't know about you people, but I personally think that good, simple answer was worth a pledge.
Yeah.
And it's easy to make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll free at 1-800-790-0415. And, of course, you can pledge securely online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 or 6 days a year at jazz901.org.
And it's such an important thing to do, we really get choked up about it. The station can't keep on the air if we don't get the pledges.
I've had post-nasal drip for 3 days, and it's making me a little crazy.
Well, pre-nasal drip.
Yeah, hasn't been coming out of that end. It's just a bad down the throat. But basically, there are issues. There have always been issues, particularly in the early days, with Windows 7 to 10 updates missing drivers. Not missing in the sense that they're not there, missing that they need to be updated or having an available update. And that usually happens when it's a third-party device, like a mouse or sometimes a graphics card. Frankly, and the one thing we didn't talk about was that the same issue can happen with a graphics card. You can have a driver for a graphics card that did not properly update from 7 to 10, and once that's happened, every other update will ignore it because it's been given an imprimatur.
So getting the right kind, kind of drivers for each device. It's one of the advantages of a name brand computer is you go to that one website and you can get all the drivers. Right. When you build your own, you got to go to the motherboard driver, the video card driver, the graphic card driver, the
sound
driver, the network driver. Ethernet and wireless could be separate cards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And going from 7 to 10, you may have to do all of that too.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
Because sometimes Windows 10 will presume it has the right driver and substitute that, and they don't always work.
Right. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Brian from Walworth, New York. What's up?
Hi there.
Hi.
Hey, Jess. I'll try to make this quick. I've been automating my home. I bought a Nest E. I've got a Google Home Mini. To get the Nest E to work, though, it turns out I upgrade the software on my Wi-Fi router. It's an old Linksys, about 7 years old. So I upgraded the software on that, and that worked fine. Now everybody talks to the E, to the Nest E, and to the Google Home Mini. And my computer talks to it, and my tablets talk to it, and my phone talks to it, and everything talks to it except my printers. My wireless printers are no longer wireless. They work fine if I plug the cable into them, but my little home office, my printers are normally on the other side of the room.
Did you try rerunning the wireless setup wizard and re-add, remove and re-add the wireless
network
to the printer?
Well, the problem is they're older printers, and I did WP. I did what they don't have the little screens on them because these printers are probably pushing 7-8 years old, but they work fine. So I had no reason to change them.
What may have happened in the wireless router update is there's a very old wireless protocol called WEP. WEP.
Yeah, which I got into.
Right. That is extremely vulnerable. It should never be used. And some of the routers have removed it from their capabilities because you should use the new WPA2. And it's possible that your printers don't support WPA2 if they're just as old as well.
WEP.
That's probably what happened.
Yeah.
Yep. There's a little button on the back of the router you're supposed to be able to push to link it to it.
That's WPS, the wireless, wireless push buttons or something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
That often doesn't work, and that's also extremely vulnerable and should never be used.
You could look for maybe patches on the printers.
Well, what often happens, if you download the driver installer from the printer company, you hook it up to your computer over USB, and during the setup, it says, are you going to use this USB or Wi-Fi? And then on your computer, use your computer screen to type in the Wi-Fi and password,
it puts it into the printer. I did not try that.
Now, before you do that, you should look in the manual to make sure that that's doable before you start shifting things around.
Yeah, usually when a printer doesn't have a front screen, you have to do it on the computer.
Yeah, right.
Neither of these have front screens, but I had no reason to change them because they work fine.
Well, right. But now you have to do something with them somehow or other.
And when you're looking for these updates, kind of read through the material, see if it is going to support, beyond WEP.
Yeah, it should have WPA2 as the latest wireless.
WPA2, Walter Paul Apple is what you're saying, right?
Wireless protected access.
Right.
All right. I'll try hooking them up to the computer and doing that. Because that's the other thing. I have downloaded the new software drivers, but they didn't actually have it wired to the printer at that point because I got to carry my computer over where the printers or the printers over the computer. It's a nuisance.
Right, and that's why I say check the manuals first, even if you have to download them from online.
Right.
Just to make sure they will, in fact, do that before you start shifting heavy boxes.
Well, it's not that big of a deal, but I don't want to do it every day. You know, it's just, as I said, I was perfectly happy with the printers on the other side of the office.
And once you do it, it should be fine.
Yeah, once you can get it set up to the Wi-Fi using USB once, then it should work continuously.
I will, because and as I said, when I plug the printers into the, directly with the cable, they still work fine. So
right.
It's not like the printers are suddenly broken.
Yeah.
Right.
The other thing you can do is get a wireless print server that plugs into the printer, but most of those cost almost as much as a new printer can anyway.
Well, no, the new ones are fairly cheap. You can get them for $40 or $50, but I would rather see it work
built
the right
the printer,
way.
Yeah, you can get a color inkjet wireless printer for probably $50 these days.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they make it up in the ink. They sell you the printer.
Yeah, well, I know, exactly. That's the problem. All right, I'll give that a try.
Thanks.
So one thing we like to recommend is a laser printer to a lot of our customers because the cost per print is a lot lower.
Right.
The initial cost of a laser printer is a little higher, $100, $125. But most people only print black and white anyway. And a black and white laser printer is pretty inexpensive. If you do want to print color photos, then you can get an inkjet printer. But don't do all your day-to-day printing stuff on the color inkjet because even if you print black only, the black liquid ink costs a lot more than the black toner you would get in a laser printer.
Right. Do you remember LightScribe? DVD? Well, I can't talk about that this week. We'll talk about it next week. That music tells me that I've run out of time to talk about stuff. And that's okay because we're done for another week. I want to thank Dave Enright. I want to thank Steve Ray.
But you're not gonna.
But I'm not gonna. But I want to. But I'm not. I can't bring myself to do it. And I want to thank each and every one of you who was kind and generous enough to pledge either during the week last week or today. We are in a pledge drive. We'd love to be done by 6 o'clock Friday. But the only way we do that is if you make the call and you make the pledge. 585-966-CHAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. We're pledged securely online at jazz901.org. Now don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. We'll be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's right. It's Soundbites on the truly great and grateful to you that we are member supported Jazz 90.1. See you in 166 hours.
Tickets to this season's Jazz 90.1 Jazz Cruises go on sale April 2nd. For more information, visit jazz901.org.